Morning, Masechta Nida, Daf Beis, beginning of a new Masechta. We start Seder Taharos. This is the sixth Seder of the sixth Seder of Mishnayos, six Sedarim. So, how many Masechtas are we going to be learning together? The correct answer is one. This is the one Masechta that we're learning in all of Seder Taharos. Seder Taharos is long; it's a lot of Mishnayos, and nevertheless, this is one. The yeshivas in Bavel only wrote Gemara on this Masechta, and the reason I think is pretty obvious. As far as the other Masechtas are concerned, it's Torah. It's all part and parcel of the corpus of Torah. But nevertheless, the other Masechtas are not halacha lemaisa. Unfortunately, Tuma Tahara, without a Beis HaMikdash, there is Tuma Tahara does not have practical application. And so therefore, all the halachas of Tumah Tahara, again, it's part and parcel of Torah. Every time you learn a Mishnah in Seder Taharas, you're accomplishing the mitzvah of Talmud Torah and Limud Torah. But nevertheless, it's not halacha l'maisa. So the yeshivas and Bavel, so they didn't write on the other Masechtas. Nevertheless, when it comes to Masechta Nida, so it's talking about a woman who is a Nida. So it's a Tumah Tahara issue, absolutely, and I'm going to be discussing that in just a moment. It's a Tumah Tahara issue, but it's also, on top of that, also an issue of a relationship between a husband and wife. A husband can't be with his wife when she's a Nida, and so therefore it has practical application. And so the Chachme Bavel, so they wrote on this Masechta. So this is the only Masechta we get to see in all of Seder Taharos, which means that after we finish with Masechta Nida, so we start again. We start the next Seder of Shas, and we start with Brachos once again. Brachos, by the way, the only Masechta in Seder Zrayim that we end up learning. Okay. Anyway, that is number one. Number two, in terms of just introductory points. The Masechta that we're going to be learning is about Nida, and so it requires us to understand what is a Nida, when does she become a Nida, and just some of the most basic points to discuss. It's funny that what I'm going to share with you now, we're going to learn together in the Masechta. We're learning almost at the very tail end. It's only at the end of the Masechta that the Gemara goes through this most basic information. But you've been with us long enough, you know that this is, generally speaking, the way it goes. So this is normal practice in terms of learning Masechtas. You have to know the Masechta before you can learn the Masechta. I know it's confusing. I know it sometimes gets a little bit challenging. But that's, generally speaking, how it works. Okay, but if you have somebody who can, you know, share the information, that makes it better. In terms of a woman who is a Nida, so what is a Nida? Nida is a woman who has a discharge of blood, and at that point in time now she is Tamea. She is in a state of impurity, and as a result of that, so two things. One, Tumah Tahara, meaning that she's Tamea, that anything she comes into contact, she's an Ava Tumah, she's a source of Tumah. Anything she comes into contact with, I don't mean anything, but it's, you know, in other words, if it's a Kli, or if it's an ochel, but whatever she comes into contact with now is going to become tameh. She's an avatumah. That means anything she comes into contact with is going to be a rishon. She comes into contact with another person. That person is now going to become tameh. Again, she's an avatumah, and so she transmits that tumah to somebody else. So first and foremost, she is tameh. She's also asur labala. She can't be with her husband. In fact, the woman who's a nida is with her husband, so that is an Isser Kares, one of the arayos in the Torah in Parshas Acharimos and in Parshas Kedoshim, is a woman who's a nida. So a woman who's a nida is with her husband, so that is going to be an Isser. So when we're talking about nida, so there really are two components to nida. There's Tumah Tahara and there's Isser Veheter. It happens to be that obviously our Masechta is focusing on Tumah Tahara. How do I know that? Think of the placement. Where is Masechta Nida placed? It's placed in Taharos. So we're discussing it from the Mishnah standpoint in terms of Tumah Tahara. But obviously what the Gemara is going to do is it's going to bring an application to Issur Veheter as well. That's why the Gemara wrote about it. When does a woman become a Nida? So as I pointed out, when she has a discharge of blood. So the biology we're going to be discussing later in the Masechta. So we'll go through more details. The Gemara later on is going to actually go through the biology of a woman. Gemara is going to be really interesting when the Gemara does, in fact, explore the biology of the woman in terms of making mashallah, making analogies in terms of how to understand it. But let's just say it right now, nice and simple. This is just an intro. And that is that when a woman has a discharge where her uterine blood is going to go outside of her body, she becomes a nida. Doesn't even have to exit her body. As long as it exits the uterus and it enters into the vaginal canal, she is going to be tamei, she's going to be a nida. How much blood needs to discharge? Tipa, even a drop of blood that discharges from her uterine into her canal, so she's going to be a nida. Okay, now, as far as a woman who's a nida, what now in terms of her tuma, she's going to be tamei for 7 days. Now, that means as follows. And I'm going to say this disclaimer a lot, and I apologize for the amount of times I'm going to repeat it, but it's an important disclaimer. Everything I'm about to explain is a liba de hilchasa, not a liba de hilchasa, a liba de Torah, meaning that this is the way the Torah lays out the plan in terms of a woman being an Ida. We have a chumrah that we were noheg at least since the time of the Gemara, could be even earlier as well, in terms of the way we the way we conduct ourselves regarding a woman who saw a drop of blood. But we'll talk about that later on. That comes up later in the Masechta. Actually, that too is much later on in the Masechta. That's in the Samachs. But in the meantime, however, everything I'm saying right now is according to the Torah, but not according to the modern practice halacha. Modern, by the way, I mean at least the last 1,500 years. Okay, that's modernity. Modern. That's modern. Okay, but a woman who has a discharge of blood, where the blood leaves her uterus and enters into her canal, she is now tamei, she's a nida, and she will be a nida for 7 days. Now, those 7 days of her being a nida, once she becomes a nida, it's irrespective now of how much more she discharges. She could discharge day two, day three, day four. She could not discharge day two, day three, day four. It doesn't matter. She will be a nida for the next 7 days. And when does her nida end? At day seven. At day seven now, she goes through day seven. She, the eve of day eight, she can already tov on the mikvah, because her status of nida is now being over, and she'll do what's called the hefsek tahara. We'll talk about that later on in the Masechta. And she'll tov on the mikvah, and she's now no longer a nida. And of course, now that she's no longer a nida, mutaras labala, she can go to her husband. Again, disclaimer, this is not the halacha. Right. This is all according to the Torah.
You say fine. 7 days, but it couldn't be eight?
No, can't be eight. Can't be eight. I'll explain why.
There's no blood possible coming eight.
No, there is. It's possible that blood's coming on day eight, but that's not dam nida. That's not dam nida. Okay, so a woman is going to be nida for 7 days. Okay, and again, once it starts, it becomes now totally irrespective of how much more discharging there is. Generally speaking, what's going to happen, of course, is that there will be a blood flow for a good part of those 7 days. Could be all 7 days. Again, it doesn't matter. A woman's a nida for 7 days. Okay. Now, after that, she's no longer a nida. Now, if she tovels in the mikvah, she's tahora. What if she doesn't tovel in the mikvah? So her status is still, she's a nida vis-a-vis tuma, vis-a-vis to her husband, if she doesn't tovel in the mikvah. But in terms of any subsequent discharges that come out, the discharges that come out after the day seven, that's now called dam ziva. That is a different type of discharge. Now, when I say different, I do not necessarily mean that it's a different type of blood, as opposed to a man. So a man, when it comes to the discharges that come out of his body, so there is urine, there is semen, there is ziva, some other type of discharge. So those are actually different types of discharges that come out of a man. When it comes to a woman, it doesn't necessarily mean that it's a different type of blood. It just simply means now that she's in a new, I was going to say period, but I realize now that the wording is it's going to be a little bit confusing. But she's in a new state, she's in a new halachic arena, and that's what's called dam ziva. And that means now that on day eight, if she discharges blood, that's no longer dam nida, that's rather dam ziva. How do we treat dam ziva? So again, we're going to be talking about this later in the Masechta, but the basic idea is as follows, is that if she has a discharge during any one of her yamei ziva, so she is going to be tamea, but it's not a nida tuma. It's a ziva tuma. If it's only 1 day, she only needs to wait 1 day before she tovels in the mikvah. If it's 2 days, she also only needs to wait 1 day before toveling in the mikvah. If she has 3 consecutive days of zav discharge, so then she's now what's called a zava gadola. She needs to wait 7 clean days, shiva nekiyam. After the shiva nekiyam, then she'll tovel in the mikvah. Well, again, more accurately, she'll tovel in the mikvah on day 7, but she will be tahara that night. She'll bring karbanos on day 8. We'll talk more about that later. How many days are her Yemei Ziva after the Yemei Nida? The correct answer is 11. 7 days of Yemei Nida, 11 days of Yemei Ziva. Okay, and that means that on a regular month, what would it look like? On a regular month for a regular woman, she would have a discharge. That would initiate her Yemei Nida. She'll be a Nida for 7 days. After 7 days are over, let's say she tovels in the mikvah, she's now Tahora. The next 11 days, there's no expectation of blood to come out. Generally speaking, it doesn't come out. And so therefore, the next time after the 11 days that she has a next discharge, she'll be in Nida once again. Fine. If she were to have a discharge during any one of those 11 days, she is now a Zava. What kind of Zava? Depends on how many consecutive days she had discharge during those 11. If it's one or two consecutive days, so then she's a Zava Katana. If it's three consecutive days, she's a Zava Gadola. Okay. In terms of resuming her Nida after 7-11, so let's say it the way most Rishonim say it. When is the next time she's going to be a Nida? The answer is very simple. The next time she discharges. Mm-hmm. So that means that at 7 days she is a Nida, next 11 days she is nothing, and then after that, abeyance. Nothing happens. And then a week later she starts to discharge again, so a week later now she'll become a Nida again. Fine. That's how most Rishonim say it. It's kind of the easiest way to say it, especially based on what we generally know. A period of a woman menstruates approximately every 30 days. So that means to say that 7-11 is only 18 days. Typically speaking, there's another dozen days before she starts her next cycle. So that's fine. So in other words, 7 days of Nida, 11 days of Yemei Ziva. And then after that, the next time she discharges. There's a really interesting opinion of the Rambam. It's really hard to explain or defend. But the Rambam says that 7-11 is her cycle, and then it repeats again, 7-11, 7-11. Meaning that the Rambam is of the position that the 7-11, the Yemei Nida and Yemei Ziva cycle of a woman, is a continuous cycle with no break in between. A Rambam has a woman going on a 18-day menstrual cycle. It's a difficult position to explain, to defend, but that's the Rambam's position. Okay, I put it out there, but most Rishonim do not agree with that approach. Any other words of introduction? I think we're good for now. Again, just basic introductions vis-a-vis understanding Hilchos Nida. Let's start with our Mishnah. We are on the Mishnah of Bezam and Aleph, and the Gemara now has the following discussion. Sorry, the Mishnah has the following discussion. Now, before I even start with the Mishnah, let's just set ourselves up for the Mishnah. So a woman now sees blood for the first time after some time, meaning she's going to become a Nida. So that means now that she's a Nida when she sees blood. That part's absolutely clear. Was she a Nida prior to that? Possibly. But why do I say possibly? Because if you think about it, again, go back to what we said in the introduction. When does a woman become a Nida? When the blood leaves the uterus and enters into the canal. Now, when it enters into the canal, right, it's not immediately visible. And she does not know immediately. So there really could be a period of time where she's going to be a Nida even before the blood actually exits her body. Oh, okay. So with that in mind, so now it's easy to imagine that when a woman sees blood for the first time, it may be that she was a Nida already for some time earlier. It's possible. Now, on the other hand, and we're going to see this in the Mishnah, she has a chazakah. In other words, we generally have one of the most important halachic principles, and that is status quo. Meaning that, generally speaking, unless we know otherwise, we say that what the status of something is what it was earlier. Right? We have this concept in physics called inertia. Right? It's similar. The idea that unless something changed, it's going to be going on the same path. The woman was Tahora 2 days ago, 3 days ago. Only now she sees herself to be a Nida. So now I'm gonna speculate that maybe the blood went from her uterus into the canal a day ago, 2 days ago, 3 days ago. That goes against the Chazaka. Chazaka was she was Tahora. Okay. So these are the big ideas that we're going to be discussing in the course of the Mishnah and the Gemara. Let's start with the Mishnah. Shammai Omer Kol Anashim Dayin Shaitan. So Shammai is of the opinion that whenever a woman has any discharge of blood, Dayin Shaitan. Meaning, what time? When is she a Nida? From the time that she sees the blood. And not a second, not a minute earlier than that. Take a look at Rashi.
What is it called?
Kol Anashim?
Yeah, what was it?
Interesting, right? With the generally call is an inclusive language.
Yes,
that refers to that incorporates a lot of women. Okay. My memory is not serving me right now. I don't remember if the Gemara brings this up. Please forgive me.
Okay.
I don't know. Okay, let's start with the Rashi and the Mishnah. Shamai Omer Kol Anashim Dain Shaitan Imras Adam Dai Lanu Im Titame Truma Vitaharos. Shetaga Behem Ishas Ri'ya Ve'elach Velo Amrini Kihech Dehashta Ishtakech Dam Bebeis Achitzon Ihava Batka Nami Mikami Hachi Havi Ishtakech Vekosle Beis Arechem Ha'emidu. What Shammai is dismissing is the following argument. Is that there is a possibility that there was blood in the Kosle Beis Arechem, the vaginal canal, and it was there a day ago, 2 days ago. Shammai is of the position that I dismiss that out of hand because she has a chazaka. And because she has a chazaka, I know the Mishnah hasn't used that word, but we're going to use that word a lot in the course of the Gemara because the woman had a chazaka. So therefore, we're going to say that the moment that she saw the blood, it's only from this time going forward that she's tamei. Any truma that she touched prior to that is still truma tahora. Okay. Hillel omer mi pekidel pekida v'afilu l'yamim harbei. And Hillel disagrees with Shammai. And Hillel says that no. Even if she did an examination of her body a week ago, 2 weeks ago, if now she saw blood for the first time, we have to suspect that perhaps the blood was in her canal a week ago, 2 weeks ago. How far back are we going to go? From the last time that she did an examination. And Hillel says it could be even Yamim Harbei, it could be many days ago. Nevertheless, according to Hillel, there is a concern, there is a suspicion that maybe the blood existed prior to that. And so therefore, her status of being Tamea is going to go back to the last examination. Any Truma that she handled since her last examination is now going to be Truma Tamea. Now, what comes out, yes. Literally read my mind, comes out now is that Hillel is being more machmir. Now, this is unusual. We don't normally have Hillel taking the more stringent position. Generally speaking, Hillel takes a more lenient position. So obviously this is a rare Mishnah, and yes, this Mishnah finds itself in the Mishnayos and Adios, where the Mishnah over there recounts the few times that Hillel ends up being more strict than Shammai, but obviously over here, he is going to be more strict. It is, from a practical standpoint, a really difficult position if you're being careful about Tumat Tahara. Because that means to say that even though a woman is not an Ida, but at any point in time now, it could be that retroactively, she's going to discover she was an Ida. She's baking challah, that's Truma challah. Or right, I'll try to be more clear. She's baking bread, that's Truma bread. And now, a week later, she discovers she's an Ida. And she didn't do an examination of her body. Let's say a week earlier, only a week earlier. So that means now that this bread is going to be Tamea. Because according to Hillel, her status of Tumah is going to go retroactive to her last examination.
Well,
so
she could have been with her husband.
In other words, the only thing I'm just going to tweak and clarify is that it's not a question of worse. In other words, there are two areas of halacha that are being discussed. One is Tumah Tahara, and the other one is Issur Lamala. They're equally bad, so to say. Again, our Mishnayos over here in Seder Taharos is focusing on Tumah Tahara. But you're right. But when it comes, you see, when it comes to her and her husband, in other words, there's nothing to be done about it, meaning it happened already, and okay. When it comes to the Truma, it's now disqualified. Meaning the Truma that's currently in front of me right now, because according to Hillel, we're retroactively calling her Tamea from her last examination, this bread that she thought was Tahara is no longer Tahara. And now if it's Truma, it's going to have to be disposed of. Right? It's just, it's a difficult position. Maybe not in terms of lamdus, but just in terms of like practical living. Like how do you live knowing that retroactively going to go back? You know what the answer is, which we're going to also see in the Mishnayos here in the beginning of Masechta Nida, and that is frequent examinations. But we'll talk about that later. Now, there is a third opinion. Shammai takes the most lenient position, which is Dain Shaitan, from this point going forward, from the time that she sees blood. Hillel takes the most strict position, which is go back all the way to the last time she did an internal examination. And the middle position is the Chachamim, which is Elamei Eis La'Eis, Memeetas Al Yad, mibekila bekida, or mibekida bekida mimetas al yad meislais. So the Chachamim say basically maximum 24 hours. Now I say maximum. What do I mean by that? Well, the Mishnah says it. The Mishnah is very clear. Let's say that she hasn't done an examination for a week. According to the Chachamim, yes, she'll be retroactively Tameya, and yes, there's going to be concern that the Tumah is going to go back, but it's not going to go back more than 24 hours from the time that she sees. What if she did an examination 12 hours ago? Well, we know the examination, assuming the examination came out clean, so then we know that 12 hours ago she was fine. 12 hours later she saw blood, so then we're going to go back. But we're not going to go back 24 hours. We're going to go back to the examination that took place 12 hours ago. So that means that according to the Chachamim, maximum is going to be 24 hours. Mishnah continues. Kol isha sheyesh la vest daishaita. Any woman who has a fixed menstrual cycle, so the first time she sees blood, we assume that because she has an expected menstrual cycle and she knows to the day when the cycle is going to start, so that means to say that when she bleeds, we're not going to assume that it came at any point in time earlier, because this is what she is used to seeing. And presumably what the Mishnah means is that even Hillel would agree to this position. It's interesting. You say the Chachamim, right? Certainly the Chachamim would agree to this position. Hillel, who's more machmer, presumably would agree to this position as well. Meshameshes be'edim harizik pekidim. A woman has relations with her husband. And while having relations with her husband, she does an examination before and after. And we're going to be talking about this later in the parak, that it was standard practice where examinations were done with the woman before and after she had relations with her husband. That is going to be considered like an examination. The Gemara later on, this I do remember clearly, the Gemara later on is going to wonder, well, what's the chiddush? If she did an examination, so that examination should serve as an examination. Why would I have thought any differently? So we're going to be discussing that in the Gemara later on. And that examination is going to cut down on the 24 hours like we explained earlier. Ketza daishaita. So what's an example of daishaita? Haisa yoshevas b'mita v'asuka b'taharos. A woman who is on the bed and dealing with food that is taharos. Upirsha virasa. So, she separates from the food. And then she has a discharge where she sees that she's discharging. He tameh v'hein taharos. Because she discharged after having separated from the food, so that means that she, of course, now is an Ida, but the food, of course, is Tahara. Alpha bishamra mitame meisla eis, enamona ela mishasharasa. Now, one last point of the Mishnah, and that's as follows. We know that a woman is on a 7-11 cycle, as we discussed in the introduction to today. We also know that there is a concern that even though she saw now, it may be that the blood existed even earlier. So, as far as Tumah Tahara is concerned, so that means that retroactively, the foods that she handled are going to be Tameya. How far back retroactively? So we had two opinions in our Mishnah. Hillel says to her last examination. The Chachamim say maximum 24 hours. Fine. What about counting from this point going forward? Meaning she has to count her Yemei Nida. Yemei Nida 7 days. When does she start counting from? The time that we retroactively push back and say that it could be that the blood was there 24 hours ago, or according to Hillel, a week ago? Or does the count start from the time that she actually visually sees the discharge? Answer, from the time that she visually sees the discharge. And even though we go back in terms of making Shuma Tameya, but that's only in terms of making Shuma Tameya. In terms of her count going forward, only from the time that she visually sees the discharge. Okay. Start with the Gemara. We're on the bottom of Beis Amud Aleph, my time of the Shammai. So what is the basis of Shammai's position? The Gemara is going to end up giving 4 different approaches over the next 2 days, between today's daf and tomorrow's daf, 4 different approaches in terms of how to understand Shita Shammai. Again, Shammai is of the position that when a woman visually sees the discharge coming out of her body, so we don't go back retroactively, and we don't suspect or concern ourselves with the fact that maybe the blood was in the canal at an earlier point in time. And why should that be? So my time is Shammai. So the argument behind Shammai is an argument of Chazaka. When it comes to a status change, so unless we know otherwise, we will always perpetuate her current status. Her current status is that she's Tahara, meaning she already had a cycle a month ago, but she toveled in the mikvah. After tefillah b'mikvah, she's now tahara, and that status continues until we know otherwise. And when she actually sees the discharge of blood coming out of her, then and only then is she going to be tamea, but we're not going to go back retroactively, because that's the rules of chazakah. Now, the rules of chazakah, that's a strong rule. How can Hillel argue with the rule of chazakah? Coming up. V'Hillel, ki amar hemed davar cheskasa hechadales le'reyusa migufe. Ava isasa, kevin de migufe ka'asya lo arminan ukma acheskasa. Hillel's counter-argument is, yeah, I'm totally on board with the idea of chazakah, but not in this case. Because when it comes to a woman, that is the isasa, kevan de begufa kachazia. It's coming out of her very own body. Lo arminan ukma cheskasa. So we don't say that that she has a chazakah. More clarity on Hillel's point? So let's take a look at Rashi. Rashi on the top of the Amud Beis, kevan de begufa kachazia, mu'ada urigila hilakach, this is something that happens on a frequent basis. In fact, it happens on a monthly basis. Meaning, if I have something where it changes, but one time, so now I can say, when did the change occur? Only when we first realized it. But when it comes to a woman who constantly cycles month after month, so that means to say that this is not a chazakah. What do you want to tell me? That she toveled in the mikvah, now she's tahara? Okay, but we know what's going to happen because that's the standard cycle of a woman. And that is that she's going to be a nida again. And even when she tovels in the mikvah, she's going to become a nida again. And this is a chazaka which is omed lehishtanos. It's going to change. So you can't tell me that chazaka status quo is going to... I agree, says Hillel. Let me start again. I agree, says Hillel, that status quo is an important concept. Not just an important concept. An accepted concept. But vis-a-vis a woman and her status of being a nida, because it's in a constant state of flux, you can't call this a chazaka. And so therefore, we do concern ourselves with the fact that even though she only sees the blood now, it could be that the blood was in the canal a day ago, 2 days ago. That would be Hillel's counter-argument. Umayishna mi-mikvah. Now the Gemara continues, the Gemara says, now, how is this any different than the case of mikvah? Meaning what we're going to be doing now for the rest of today's Amud, and the rest of today's Daf, is we're going to be comparing the status change of a woman and other status changes as well, where something was in a cheskas of being one thing and then it moves to another, and the Gemara is going to be comparing. We're going to be looking at two cases, the case of the evaporating mikvah and the case of the wine going bad and turning into vinegar. Let's start with the case of the evaporating mikvah. A mikvah, in order to be kosher mikvah, has to be collected pool of rainwater in something which is either fixed in the ground or attached to the ground, right? What we call a mikvah. How much volume of water does it have in order to be a kosher mikvah? 40 saw. Okay, 40 saw of water. If the mikvah has 39, it's not kosher. If the mikvah has any amount less than 40, right? 40 minus a drop, if we could be so precise in our measurement, it's not a kosher mikvah. Now, what is the nature of water? So we all know water evaporates. So here in Florida, we have pools, and you know this. After it hasn't rained for some time, so the pool level recedes. Water evaporates, and so what happens is as follows. We checked the mikvah a month ago. The mikvah was fine. And then, toveled in the mikvah, and now it's been dry for the last month, and we measure the mikvah, and the mikvah now is no longer good. And so at one point between a month ago and today, the mikvah lost the 40 saw. When did that happen? Sometime between a month ago and today. What does the Mishnah tell us regarding such a mikvah? So, we have a Mishnah. Mishnah tells us the following. This is the Mishnah Mikvos. Mikvah shenimdad v'nimtza chaser. We measure the mikvah, and the mikvah now is lacking and no longer has 40 saw. So, kol tahar shenasu agabav l'mafreya bein b'rishos harabim bein b'rishos yachid tameos. The Mishnah over here says super clearly that anything I told from the mikvah retroactively is going to be still in a state of being tamea. I tovel a clean that mikvah, it's no good. The tefillah was no good. And that keli is still going to be tamei. Now, the Mishnah says it doesn't matter if it's Rishus Yachid, Rishus Arab, and we will be discussing this tomorrow, so I'll reserve the explanation, better explanation tomorrow. But there is sometimes by Suffolk Tumah, there's a difference between Rishus Yachid and Rishus Arabim. We'll talk about that tomorrow. We don't have to discuss that right now because the Mishnah here says it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if it's a Rosh Hashanah, it doesn't matter if it's a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. Meaning, we know now the mikvah is no good, and retroactively we're going to assume the same, that the mikvah is no good. Even though we know historically, let's say a month ago, the mikvah was fine. But now the mikvah is no good, and we're going to push that back retroactively. Now, l'shamai kasha l'mafreya. Now, according to Shammai, obviously, tremendous difficulty. Because what does Shammai say regarding a woman who's an Ida? From this point going forward. But we don't go back. Le'il kasha v'adai. And even according to Hillel, it's going to be problematic. Because according to Hillel, it's true that we are suspicious of her being nida retroactively, but that we don't say that bevada'us, that definitively she's going to be tamea. It's a suffix. The Mishnah in Mikvaos could not be any clearer. The Mishnah in Mikvaos says that we're going to go back retroactively, and anything tovel in the mikvah is simply going to remain in a state of tumah. Tumah vadai, not suffik, not possibly. So, what this Mishnah obviously poses a difficulty. A bigger difficulty on Hillel, but a difficulty on Shammai as well. So, how do you explain the Mishnah Mikvos in light of our Mishnah? So, the Gemara said, yeah, right. So, exactly. So, there has to be some distinctions being made. So the Gemara says, okay, so the difference would be is that when it comes to when it comes to that which I toveled in the mikvah, so what did I tovel in the mikvah? Obviously something that was tummy. Right? That's the whole reason why we put into the mikvah. So the item that I put into the mikvah that was tamei was for sure tamei. And so now I'm going to tell you that the item went through a change? Well, I don't know. The mikvah currently doesn't have 40 saw. So the Gemara says, Adarabba. Okay, you're right, but I'm going to counter. Hemin mikvah cheskaso. Ve'im alo chaser. Yeah, but you know, we did check the mikvah a month ago. And the mikvah a month ago was a kosher mikvah. Isn't that a good chazaka? Hare chaser lefanecha. So the Gemara says, yeah, it was a good chazaka. But look at the evidence you have right in front of you right now. Mikvah is lacking. Okay? So hachanami, hare dam lefanecha. So the Gemara says, okay, but can't we say the same thing regarding the woman? Meaning now we're going to flip over to our case in the Mishnah of Nida. So the woman, hare dam lefanecha. Well, you see the evidence in front of you that she now currently is a Nida. Doesn't that go back retroactively? So hashtahu dechazai. So the Gemara says, okay, but I'll tell you that the blood came now. And not any time earlier. Hachanami hashu dechaser. Flip back to the case of the mikvah. I'll tell you that the mikvah was kosher a month ago, and I'll tell you that the mikvah was kosher yesterday. So the Gemara says hachi hashta. I can't compare the two. So how does evaporation work? Gradually, incrementally. So that means to say that I can't tell you that the mikvah is lacking today, but for sure was good yesterday. Because that's not how evaporation works. It's a gradual process. It's a slow process. So that means that it had to have occurred sometime between a month ago and today. And because it's a gradual process, it wasn't yesterday. And maybe not 2 days ago. But in other words, but it was at some point between a month ago and today. And therefore, I'm just going to have to go back. So, hacha, mi'ik lamemer, chazav asai, chazav asai. Now, a woman menstruating. Is that a slow process? Is that an incremental process? The Gemara right now is arguing it's not. So the Gemara says, "My kusha, doma hagas hagas chazise." So the Gemara says, "Not necessarily. I could say regarding a woman in her menstrual cycle and her becoming a tamea because of the damnida, that's also gradual." Now, how do you understand that it's gradual? So the way Rashi describes it is that basically what you have is an accumulation of blood within the uterus, and eventually what's going to happen is that the uterus can't contain it all. And eventually what's going to happen is that a drop is going to be going from the uterus into the canal. But again, incremental, gradual, not something that happens immediately and in one shot. And so therefore, just like the mikvah evaporating is a slow, gradual process, so is a woman being an Ida. So the Gemara's final distinction is that still they're not comparable. Case of the mikvah, you have two strikes against you. The case of the Nida, you only have one strike against you. Two strikes, one strike, what is the Gemara talking about? Once again, Rashi. Rashi writes over here, Tarta L'Reusa, Rashi is about at the midpoint in the column of Rashi. Tarta L'Reusa. Hem etama echeskas tuma, uvecheskas tahara de mikvah, ika reusa. The two strikes of the mikvah is strike number one. What did I tell on the mikvah? Something that for sure was tame. Okay, that's strike number one. Strike number two, I measure the mikvah right now, and the mikvah is missing. So I have, number one, the chazakah of the kli that was tovled, which is no good, let's say it clear, which was tameh. And right now, the mikvah currently is no good, and so therefore I have to suspect that previously it was also no good. That's just two strikes. Sharei chasol fanecha. Avabi isha, but continuing in Rashi. But when it comes to a woman, so it's not two strikes. Why? Avabi isha bidida hu di ika reyusa. Shuhura cheskas tarasa. Ktsas. Sharei dam lafanecha. Umishum hach reyusa luchuda lo marinan la. Ho vitaros lo mishkacha reyusa achrita. Consider. The woman sees blood now. And again, the suspicion is, the concern is maybe the blood came at an earlier point in time. But that's it. Meaning, that's the only concern that exists. That which she was handling previously was tahora. And now, we want to keep it tahora. So in other words, there's a chazaka over there that it was tahora, and it should remain tahora. And the woman also had a chazaka. And the only thing now, poking at the chazaka, is that she currently sees blood, and our concern that the blood was there previously. But that's it. That's the only reyusa that you have, as opposed to the case of the mikvah, where there's two reyusas. And Rashi finishes, and as far as keeping everything as is, well, the food that she was handling was tahora, keep it tahora. Fine. So that's the difference between the case of the mikvah and the case of the nida. Good. Umayshna mechavis. Continuing in the Gemara, we're going to do one more case for this morning, and that is the case of the barrel. The case of the barrel now, we're talking about a barrel of wine, where the barrel was opened up and discovered that no longer wine. The wine went sour. So it's vinegar. Now, vinegar is also good, right? But obviously, it's not wine. Now, what difference does it make in halacha whether it was wine or vinegar? And why do I care when it changed from wine into vinegar? So I care in terms of truma and hafrashas truma. Now, the halacha is like this. When I'm mafrish truma, so it has to be b'min almina, meaning that when I take the 2% and take it off the produce in order to give to the Kohen, so I have to take from grapes onto grapes. I have to take from oranges onto oranges. It has to be on the same species. When I'm being mafrish truma on wine, it has to be from wine onto wine. Wine and vinegar, even though they are derived from the same product, nevertheless, they're shnei minim. They're two different species. And so you cannot be mafrish from vinegar onto wine or from wine into vinegar. This barrel of what I thought was wine, so for a long time now I knew exactly how much was in there, and I kept using it for my hafrasha, and I kept being mafrish onto this. And then when I opened it up, so the pungent smell of vinegar comes out, and I realize, oh, it's not wine, it's now vinegar. Oh, it changed. When did it change? Okay, good. So that's, now you see how these cases are comparable. So the Mishnah starts off, Didan. Hayabodek is a chavis. So you're checking the barrel. Liyos mafrish ala truma. Where you'll be separating from it truma. Vaholech. And you keep doing it. Vachakach nimtza chomets. And afterwards it turns vinegar. Kol gimel yamim. Vadai. Mikan ve'elech safek. So for 3 days it's for sure. And then from that point going forward it's a safek. Now in terms of the 3 days that we know definitively. So the Gemara in Baba Basra discusses this. Rashi quotes the Gemara in Baba Basra in terms of what 3 days are we talking about. From the time that you did the examination, from the time that you sealed the barrel. Okay. See the Gemara in Baba Basra for a little more details regarding these 3 days. But in the meantime, however, we're just going to be focusing on the fact that there was a change. And there was a change. And when did the change occur? And the Mishnah tells us, Safek. We don't know. So Kasha, Lashamai. So it's obviously going to be difficult for Shammai, because again, what does Shammai say? Shammai says is that when you see the change, only from that point going forward do we assume that the change occurred. But we don't go back any time earlier. The Mishnah tells us regarding the barrel of Truma that we do go back earlier. Anything that was done previously is a Suffolk, except for the 3 days, however you want to gauge those 3 days. But anything that was done previously is a Suffolk. So obviously this Mishnah poses a difficulty for Shammai. So the Gemara responds once again. So So it's going to be a very similar type of discussion that we had regarding the mikvah. So the Gemara says, okay, well, you know, what we were trying to do, we were trying to rectify Tevel. Meaning, look at the status of Tevel. What was its status previously? Tevel. Produce that was untithed, which is prohibited. The Amar lo nitaken. And so therefore the argument is that it wasn't corrected. Adarabba, the Gemara says, okay, you want to argue? I can argue the other way. So the Gemara says, I can say that. I know when I sealed the barrel, I know it was wine. So why didn't I say that the status of wine perpetuates and continues? It's hard to argue that when I'm currently looking at vinegar right now and smelling the vinegar right now. So the Gemara says, okay, can't you say the same thing regarding the woman? The blood's here right now. Hashta hu dechazai. So the Gemara says, yeah, but I could say regarding the woman that the blood came now. Hasamnami hashu dechmitz. Well, can I say regarding the barrel of vinegar that it changed now? So the Gemara says, no. Hachi hashta. Hasamikla memer hechmitz vasa, hechmitz vasa. Hachamikla memer chazai vasa, chazai vasa. So the Gemara, yeah, it's the same type of discussion. So when it comes to the changing of the wine into vinegar, that's gradual, it's incremental. The woman, are you saying it's gradual and incremental? My kusha. Dilma hagas chazisei. So the Gemara says, no, by the woman also, I could say it's gradual and incremental, like we explained earlier. Hasam ika tartilariusa, hachi ika chadilariusa. So the Gemara, once again, concludes its discussion by pointing out that it is fundamentally different. What's the fundamental difference? Is that when it comes to the barrel, so you have two strikes against you. Two strikes against you in the case of the barrel. Strike number one. We know that what we wanted to do was be mafresh truma and change the status of tevel into non-tevel. Oh. So that means to say that the tevel started off as being something which is usur, and we wanted to change it to something which is corrected and misukan. Okay. So in other words, it started off as being isser. On top of that, the barrel currently is not wine. It's currently vinegar. Now, when did that change? I don't know, but that's strike number two. As opposed to the woman only has one strike against her, meaning she had a cheskas tahora. On top of that, she only saw the blood now. We only have a concern that maybe the blood was there previously. Okay, that's only one. That's not two. So the cases of the mikvah and the cases of the barrel are different than the case of the woman, and so therefore the Gemara successfully defended the position of Shammai. Interesting, by the way, the Gemara's discussion today and tomorrow is going to revolve around Shammai, even though that's not a halacha, it's not a position that is accepted la halacha, but nevertheless, it's part of the corpus of Torah. Learning Shita Shammai is a kiyum in Talmud Torah, and so the Gemara is going to be spending two dapim, maybe even a little bit more, but at least two dapim discussing the Shita of Shammai. Let's recap today, and we'll pick it up tomorrow.
If you're learning the same course,
well, actually, so glad you asked. Actually, if you think about it, once you know the case of the mikvah, once you know the case of the barrel, so then you realize that they're not saying exactly the same thing, which is going to bring us to the beginning of tomorrow's daf, which is how come in the case of the mikvah we're saying that it's definitively tameh, and in the case of the barrel, outside of the 3 days, it's only a suffix. That's where we start tomorrow. So, right, the Gemara is actually setting us up for the next point. Let's quickly recap. We opened up with a somewhat lengthy introduction to Nida, in terms of when a woman is a Nida, the basic cycle of a woman, 7-11. So we opened up over there. The Mishnah starts off, and as we discussed in the beginning, in the intro today, our Mishnayos are really interested in Tumah Tahara. That's the main focus of the Mishnayos. Again, the Isser V'Heter aspect comes up, and it will come up a lot here in our Masechta. But again, this is Seder Taharos, so really our focus is Tumah Tahara. A woman who sees her discharge for the first time, are we suspicious, are we concerned that maybe the blood existed there earlier, and I say there meaning in the canal, where she would also be a Nida. Once the blood leaves the uterus and enters into the canal, she's going to be a Nida. And are we concerned that this happened maybe a little bit earlier? Shammai says no. Hillel says yes. And Hillel's position is that we go back all the way to the last time she did an internal examination of her canal. And from this point to the last time she did an examination, all the taharos that she handled are going to be tameah. And then the chachamim's position, a middle position, which is that we only go back maximum 24 hours. But if she did an examination within the 24 hours, that's going to cut into the 24 hours. Those are the three positions of the Mishnah. The Mishnah also spoke about a woman who had a vest kavua, who had a fixed cycle, where she knew her schedule really well to the day. Actually, when I say to the day, by the way, it really means even to the 12-hour period of a day, either day or night, in which she's expecting her menstrual cycle to begin. For such a woman, even Hillel will be of the position, Dayashaita, that we do not concern ourselves with the fact that maybe the blood existed earlier, because she's on a fixed cycle, so therefore we know that the blood came only now. As opposed to a woman that does not have a vest kavua, so obviously then we go back to the machlokas between Shammai, Hillel, and the Chachamim. The Gemara's discussion, what is the basis of Shammai's position, that we only go from this point going forward and we don't go back retroactively. Our first approach of the Gemara, which we're still in the middle of, Chazaka. Meaning Shammai is predicated on the idea, on the principle of Chazaka, that previously she was Tahara, and so therefore that status does not change until we know definitively that it has underwent a change, i.e. she actually saw the discharge of blood. Hillel's counter-argument to that, this is not a regular Chazaka. It's a Chazaka ha'asur li'ishtanos. It's a Chazaka that's in a constant flux. You can't call that a Chazaka. And then what we did in the rest of today's daf is we compare the case of the woman and Shammai's position on Dayan Shaita to the case of the mikvah and to the case of the barrel and truma. And the Gemara pointed out that our case of the Nida is different than both of those cases. Our Mishnah only has one strike against a woman, one concern against a woman, both in the case of the mikvah and in the case of the truma. It's tarta l'riusa, the two strikes, and that's why in both those cases we're going to be machmer. Okay, stop over here.